Okay. There is a Jai Krishnamurti quote in front of you. All becoming is disintegration. Then you turn to the back, there is another quote. Becoming is strife. Strife, the meaning I checked the internet, is difference of opinion or disagreement on fundamental issues. Strife. I don't know, that's what they describe there. Oh, different. That one is another spelling. V-E, strife. Or is it? Oh, no. I only remember the one I-V-E is strive on with heedfulness. But this strife is another word by itself. Strife. Strife. Then you put a F-L-E, it becomes strifeful. This one, strife, is another meaning, another word by itself. This two quote is very important. It will let you understand a lot about the mind. How the mind has been deceiving the living beings for so long. We are still early. Oh, today all come early. Traffic must be very small. Sadhya Siddha, yeah. Oh, Yavas, my wife brought with the flower also. After she remembered to take back. Yeah, bitter conflict, competition, or they say difference of opinion based on fundamental issue. It's like you argue with people. That's why it will lead to pain. Strife and pain. The quote is very meaningful and it's very beautiful. This quote actually complement our earlier quote. I like these two quotes because it has a lot of similarity with what the Buddha is trying to explain. Mainly, the word becoming. All of becoming is your craving. And all of craving lead to becoming. You crave to become something. So that the three types of craving. Kama tangha, bhava tangha, vibhava tangha. Kama tangha is sensual craving. Then bhava tangha is they explain as craving for existence. That one is wrong. Actually, it's craving to be, to become something. Then vibhava tangha, they say craving for non-existent. No, means you want to die. It's craving not to become that. So these two, the English translation in most of the texts, they are not so appropriate. So you have to be careful. And I realize a lot of cultivators, they base it on the English word. They base it on the English word, the English translation. Craving to become something. No. Later on is become. Like you crave to become a CEO of a company. Or you crave to become a world champion, a successful person, craving to become something. So craving to be something. They The second one is vibhava tanha, means you don't like the entity, so you crave not to become that. Like it's a hot seat, CEO. After you sit there, you realize this is stressful, very, very difficult stress. Then sometimes they say, ah, myself, let people take over. So craving not to be. But the translation during the early days has not been accurate because they equate becoming as existing. That's why vibhava tanha and bhava tanha, they call it craving for existence, then craving for non-existence. The early book translation, even until today you can read, they define it as that way. Then it's very dangerous, especially the five spiritual faculties. This virya, a lot of book translate as effort, no? And because it's translated as effort, they go and use this word, effort. Then they got it wrong. Because right effort under Noble Eightfold Path is sama vayama. Vayama is not virya. That's a virya is not an effort, it's a spiritual zeal. Spiritual tenacity is an energy that drives you to cultivate. It's not an effort. Oh, another 2 minutes we can start our puja. So today, who is coming out to light the candle and the incense? Anybody who is new? Oh, you want to nominate who? Say, maybe Seyong. Every time fetch me, he never liked before. Ban Hock, come, the two of you. Come. Seyong and Ban Hock, come up. Help to light the candle. Help to light the candle and the incense. Today we give you all the honor. Seyong, like. Tiam Hyo. Before off the fan first. Off the fan first. Okay, we can stand. Get ready for puja. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Never mind. Pass it down. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. 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 sadh, 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 sadh. Okay, you all can be seated. Eh? Then we will start our puja. Compose your mind. Eh? Develop the faith, sadhya, virya. Then we will start the puja chanting. Arahang sama sambuddho bhagava Buddhaṃ bhagavantaṃ abhivādemi. Svakkhato bhagavata dhammo dhammaṃ namassāmi. Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho sanghaṃ namāmi. Okay, you can be seated. Then turn to page 4. We will start the puja chanting. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramyani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adina dana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Suramiraya majapamadatana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Okay, I understand that some Kamta just came in. They got some offering, I think. You can still bring out your offering. Yeah. Then just put it in front here. Yeah. Bring your offering out. Come. Yeah. Pamasri help to rearrange. Yeah. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we rejoice with the offering. So now we can continue to chant the Padipa Puja, starting with offering of light. Kannasarapaditena ditena tamadangsina Diloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang ganda sambarayutena dopena hang sukang hina pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bhajana muttamang Panna ganda guno petang etang kusuma santatin pujayami munin sa vipada sarorohe puje mi butang kusume na mena namate na ca hotu mokhang Pupang milayati yata idang me kayo tata yati vinasabawang adivase tuno bante panniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigang hatumutamang. Okay, turn to page 18, viewer, Chanda, Puja Aspiration. Understanding the significance of offering our light, we shall aspire for the following. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness of ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fire of all defilements in our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offerings of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering flower. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith, constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana, making an overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of this offering, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened till they become balas or powers. Then sharing of merits and transfer of merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Give you a big respect to Trupa Jam. Buddhang Pichemi. Dhammang Pichemi. Sanghang Pichemi. Okay, you can be seated. We will now continue our meditation session. So tonight we have more time. You can have 35 minutes of good meditation. So just relax body and mind. Maintain a stable posture. You can sit, you try to sit. You cannot, you can lean against the wall. And you can also lie down or sit on a chair, whatever posture that suits you, that can allow your body and mind to be in a state of balance or relaxed state to meditate. That posture will be suitable. So posture is up to you. Whatever that is conducive and appropriate, use them. Okay? Then, for those who are still not familiar, you remember to go back and read the Blue Book, Understanding the Meditation as Taught by the Buddha, which is a Dhamma transcript based on one of our Thursday class typical sharing, dated 12 September 2013. The Blue Book is a very important and useful book. If you read through that one, you will understand what is required, all of the important basic. Okay, now for tonight, most of you are here before, so you can just go ahead with your meditation. For those who still need to train their mind, you train. You can use whatever skillful means. You need to decondition your heedless thinking, then use the mind sweeping method combined with metta, so that it will bring about inner peace leading to inner well-being, for your mind to quiet down, to become more peaceful. The mind sweeping method will allow you to just feel and sweep the mind. Then when you feel if there is any tension, any tightness or any stress within, you just relax them all. So this is a very good way of training your mind to be at the location you want, than to only feel so that you don't think anymore. That's why feeling is a very good portal for you to develop the calm mind, the silent mind. And as you feel, you will develop your ability later on to develop the second foundation of mindfulness, which is Vedana Nupassana. So in Vedana Nupassana, you're supposed to silence your mind and just feel, be with the feeling. Then when the feeling has been conditioned into craving of whether pleasant or unpleasant feeling, you must be aware, because these are the hindrance of mind, sensual desire and ill will. So all this will help you. So my Supreme Master has this added advantage to prepare you for Vedana Nupassana. Then after you have developed the training of the mind to be silent, peaceful and just aware, then you combine with loving kindness and metta to bring about inner well-being. Then you continue to train this mind until it's very quiet, very peaceful and very still. Then you need to stabilize this sati or mindfulness, silent mind that you have trained. To stabilize it, you can develop either anapanasati, which is mindfulness of the in and out breath, or you can use any object of meditation that you are familiar with, like your rising and falling, or any of the chanting or dynamic meditation. You can use them to anchor your mind, to stabilize this mindfulness. But you must not go into concentration. You must develop mindfulness of the object of meditation, then continue to silence. And this is how your mindfulness can become more and more stable, more and more refined, until later on, after sufficient training, the silent mind will become very stable, very clear, and you can be in the state of silence within, without having to focus or concentrate. The mind is just naturally silent, naturally still. That means your mind is already trained, is already in sati. It can develop the understanding of what is going on. It can meditate. So this is the heedful mind, the mind that is silently meditating to develop understanding, wisdom, to insight into the characteristics of nature, to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, to establish clear understanding of who you are, what you are, and you understand clearly how you function as a human being, how your mind creates the stirring through delusion, through attachment, through craving, through sakyadity, and you will come to witness all of the essential Dhamma within your own form and mind. So meditation can only progress when you have developed this training of the mind to be ever mindful, which is the first factor of enlightenment, sati. Then use it to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, to meditate, to develop the wisdom and the understanding, clear understanding of the five aggregates of form and mind. And through all this, you will be able to progress along the path of Dhamma, to realize the truth, to develop the wisdom so that you can straighten your view, not to be deluded by all this anymore. Okay, with this, I will allow you to meditate on your own, then I will ring the bell after about 25 to 30 minutes time. Okay. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have now, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed. This is the silent mind, the meditative mind that you need to use to live life. Then you have to carry this trained state of mind into the daily life to cultivate daily mindfulness. That is the real meditation, sati sampajana. Daily mindfulness with clear comprehension of all action, all movement in the present moment. Okay, now you can turn to page 6. We will continue with the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the king of sages, which gives heaven and releases nibbana. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. You saying be here today?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you can continue with the Pali chanting.
Samanta Chakravalisu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Saggamokkhadang Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa
Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Iti Peso Bhagava Arahang Samma Sambuddho Vijja Charana Sampanno Sugato Lokavido Anuttaro Purisa Dhamma Sarati Sattha Deva Mano Sanang Buddho Bhagavati Suvakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipaseko Opanayiko Pachatang Veditatpo Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Ujupatipanno Bhagavato Sāvaka Sangho Yāya Patipanno Bhagavato Sāvaka Sangho Samīci Patipanno Bhagavato Sāvaka Sangho Yadidāṃ Chattāri Purisa Yukkāni Atta Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Sāvaka Sangho Huneyo Pahuneyo Dakineyo Tikaraniyo Anuttaraṃ Puññāṃ Kettaṃ Asati Sadhu 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 Give your pay respect to Triple Gem. Buddhaṃ Pujami. Dhammaṃ pujami. Sanghaṃ pujami. Okay, you can be seated. Those have not received this book, you can collect them later. This is the latest book, just printed on the 30th of October, about 5 days ago, 5 or 6 days ago. This is a very good book, The Essential Dhamma of Lord Buddha. It's based on one of the house dana sharing that we have done. At Brother Sia and Sister Nancy's house, dated 20th June 2015. It's a very good transcript. A lot of important dhammas are there. I have shared some, but the rest you need to read it up. Then for tonight, anybody wants to report their meditation first, or ask any question related to the meditation or the essential Dhamma or the Buddha's teaching? Anybody? We can have some meditation reporting and question and answer first before we go into the J. Krishnamurti code. Anybody? You should make full use of whatever condition that you have to report your meditation so that from there it can give rise to condition for me to explain further. Anybody? Again, you sure? Very quiet. Okay, you don't have then. Then do this shit. Anybody don't have this copy? J. Krishnamurti code. Ah, you don't have, you can collect up. You can pass this back. Never mind, here, pass it back. Never mind, just pass it back. Some of them who came in late, I think they don't have. There are two J. Krishnamurti code related. And these are very important codes because it can let you develop a lot of understanding. It will complement our earlier code too, the quiet mind and the simple mind, so that you can develop the clear understanding of what J. Krishnamurti is trying to share with you. And I like these two codes because it talks about becoming which is also similar to what the Buddha has actually taught us. The cause of suffering is craving according to the Buddha. And there are three types of craving according to the Buddha. Sensual craving, which is kama tanha. And you have the other two, vibhava tanha and bhava tanha. Bhava tanha is craving to be, whereas vibhava tanha is craving not to be. To be means to become something. Not to be is not wanting to become that, which you already experience as something not conducive. But initially, through delusion, you think it's very nice if you can achieve that becoming. It's just like those who are in the working life, career field. You aspire to be promoted to head of department, then to head of division, then to the overall head of the company. They call it the CEO or COO, Chief Operating Officer. Or you top the financial side is the Chief Financial Officer, CFO. Then now they got this IT field they call CIO, Chief Information Officer. So you aspire to become all those. Then when you achieve, you realize this is a very hot seat, full of stress, full of pressure to deliver, and very competitive, where everybody is eyeing the seat. There's only one seat. Then there's a lot of politics, a lot of backstabbing. Then when you realize all this, after a while, you had enough. You say, not worth the money, too stressful. At least if you can see that you are wise enough, then you want to let other people take over. But most people cannot. They want to sit there until they are being pushed out or dismissed. Even in politics, it's the same. So some of these people, they thought it's a very important post. They want to become that. And after they become, they want to give up. There's a craving not to be. But in the text, just now I explained before we start, but for the benefit of those who just came in, the text defines bhava tanha and vibhava tanha differently. I come across the early day, they always translate as, for bhava tanha is craving for existence. You have heard of this, sir? Normally translated as that. Then vibhava tanha is craving for non-existence. And they never explain to you what these two things is. So a lot of people thought, you crave to live for existence. Then crave for non-existence means commit suicide, want to die, you're fed up with life. You cannot take it. Too much pressure, too much stress, too much suffering. But actually, it's not like that. That's why during the early day, when I saw the translation, I realized this cannot be what the Buddha meant. Because even at my level, I understand this is not the Dhamma. This is irrelevant, not relevant at all. Then I realized that it should be craving to be, to become something, or not to become something. Then later on, as I cultivate, I develop the understanding, then this word craving become very clear. You crave to become something. So that is craving to become something. To become a world champion is also a craving. Then like the Tuesday class, I explain. I say, the becoming process, as you are born into this world, takes various stages of manifestation. As you are born into this world, initially you become a fetus. Then when you are born, you are a baby. You become a baby. Then as you grew up, you become a child. Then as you go to school, you become a student. Then as you go to university, you become an undergraduate. Then as you graduate, you walk into the working career field. Then you become a graduate working, what you call that? You become a graduate that start your career life by working for people, or you enter into certain self-employment type of business. Then as you work, you aspire to become directors of company, CEO of company, head of department, and all things like we have gone through. So all these are the various stages of becoming. Then as you get married, you become another person's spouse. Then you also have your spouse. Then as you give birth to children, or your wife give birth to children, you become parents, father and mother. Then as you grow older, your children married and have children, you become grandparents or grandfather and grandmother. Then you are very fortunate, you live very long, you become grandparents. So all these are the various stages of becoming. But as you go through all this becoming, you experience life and you go through all the various ups and downs of life, all of the related problems of life. The Buddha called it the reality of life and existence. Then when you don't have the wisdom, as you encounter them, as you go through all this becoming, you will be afflicted and suffering will be the result. Then you develop all the fear, the worry, the anxiety, the sorrow and the lamentation, all this. And this is what life is all about. But the moment you understand, as explained by Krishnamurti here, you can be free from all this unnecessary suffering or misery, born of craving, born of all this thought projection that develops the craving or desire to become anything. Then later we will also discuss that topic like the Tuesday class. Is it wrong for a Buddhist to have ambition to become something? So all these are related. Okay, now I will go into this quote. According to J. Krishnamurti, all becoming is disintegration. Lead to disintegration, lead to suffering, lead to pain. That's why you don't try to become anything. Ajahn Chah say don't even try to become an arahant, because that becoming will bring about suffering. And when you have craving to be an arahant, you can never be an arahant, because the craving to be is a craving. An arahant is a being that is free of all craving. That's why you cannot become an arahant when you have craving to be. And when you have a meditator to meditate, that meditator is a craving born of the egoic mind, the thought. That's why when the meditator wants to become enlightened, that craving to become enlightened is a craving, is a desire. It will prevent that form of mind from awakening, because that craving will bring about disintegration, will bring about the condition for that form of mind not to have the ability to realize. Krishnamurti called it the timeless, or the eternal life. So all this, it will be very clear after we go through this particular quote that we are going to share. Okay, now I'll read to you. You listen carefully. All becoming is in disintegration, according to J. Krishnamurti. He said, the mind has an idea, perhaps pleasurable, and it wants to be like that idea. The idea is a projection of our desire. We are this which we do not like, and we want to become that which we like. The ideal is a self-projection. The opposite is an extension of what is. It is not the opposite at all. So this part you have to be very clear. Then he go on, he said, but a continuity of what is, perhaps somewhat modified, because you use another word. You think by craving for the other side, the opposite side, you will be happy. And human beings go through life under many circumstances, have this type of thought projection. The most common one is what? I am poor, therefore I want to be wealthy. That's why you crave to become successful in life, to become wealthy, to be rich, so that you believe with that your life will be so much better. Then there's a lot of craving. You say, I'm not smart, I crave to be smart. I don't like to be called stupid. Or not smart. So all this craving or desire, they are thoughts projection. And you cannot see them, then you are trapped. When you say, I am poor, who say that? Who say that? The thought. So the thought give a word, a name, a description that you are poor. Then your thought don't like that. So what is it? It creates the opposite. Thinking that if I am rich, I will be happy. I will not be caught in such misery. So that opposite which you thought is the goal that you have to strive on to realize. But you don't understand that that goal is no different from being poor. Understand? And from being poor is a state that you cannot understand. That is your thought that tells you. What is poor? What is wealthy? These are states of existence related to society's what they call norms or acceptance. So when you don't have wealth, when you don't have money, then they say you are poor. But that is a reality, understand not? When you are not capable of understanding the nature's law that governs life and existence, when you don't know how to be successful in life, you will become like that. They call it the vicious cycle. You will be trapped within the vicious cycle. That's why you will be trapped in poverty and you cannot come out. But then when you, under that circumstances, not knowing that you are in that circumstances because you don't understand the nature's law that governs life existence, and you don't know how to work towards it, then you have a thought that tell you, I want to be rich. Then that craving, that desire, is a struggle. It's a very deluded way of trying to realize and achieve that. And because of that thought, you actually struggle. And you do a lot of stupid things, funny things. But when you have the wisdom and the understanding, you know, it comes about naturally through understanding. Then the understanding will bring forth the condition for you to realize that thing. You don't have to crave for it. You don't have to desire for it, because it will come naturally when the conditions are fulfilled. When everything is understood and you do what you have to do, then you will come to that understanding. Then you will be able to realize all those states without having to crave for it. Yeah. So that opposite which you thought is your goal is actually an extension of that craving, of that idea and concept that your thought creates. So because of that, Krishnamurti say it is not the opposite at all, but a continuity of what is, means that reality which you cannot see. You are poor because you label it. Actually, whether poor or rich, it's just the way you perceive it, understand or not. Materialistically, maybe under that circumstances and condition, you have not become wealthy yet. But it doesn't mean that you will be poor forever, understand or not. Yeah. That's why when you understand, then you know, once I understand, I work towards it, this thing can change. So I do not want to be trapped by what the thought tell me, by what the thought label me, understand? Then you become that poor person. That's why you have poor or low self-esteem, understand? You think, oh, you know, I'm so poor, I can't even afford a proper meal. Don't you ever dream of going for fine dining? I don't even have the clothing to dress properly. So what happened to your mind? You are limited by the thought that labor that you are poor. But that is not a what they call something that is like cast on stone, they call. That you are doomed, you are always poor. It doesn't mean that. You have to understand life is like that. When condition is like that, you will become like that. And what's wrong with being in that state, that reality, that what is? Why must you label and make yourself so miserable, have such a low self-esteem? If you don't label, you will still have the opportunity to change things, to bring about transformation in things, to bring about condition for life to improve, for status to change. All these are possible when you understand. So you are not limited by what your thought tell you. So all this is what Jai Krishnamurti is trying to tell you. Then this, he continues, that the projection is self-will, means you will it. And conflict is a struggle towards that projection. True or not? You're always not happy with what you are now. So the constant struggle to become successful, to become that, towards that ideal or your thoughts projection is suffering. So this one you have to see clearly. You are struggling to become something, and that something is part of yourself. The ideal is your own thoughts projection. Actually, it's just a thought, the five aggregate of form and mind. Yeah. That's why the wise one, they don't do that. They are not deluded by that. They understand clearly what this five aggregate of form and mind is all about. Then they only have to do what they have to do. Then when they realize that, to be enlightened, to awaken, is not to have craving, not to have desire. Then what they do is they just relax and silence their mind. Then when there is this silence, what happens is, like Krishnamurti say, the timeless and the eternal will manifest on its own when there is no craving. So when it manifests, it just, the form and mind will just realize it and understand. But when there is craving, it cannot manifest. So because of that, craving is the cause of suffering. Craving is the cause of constant becoming. And the constant becoming to become that is a constant struggle, a constant conflict that leads to all the suffering, the misery, the stress, the fear, the worry, and the anxiety, and all the life-related conflict and problems. So this is a very important understanding. In paragraph 2, Krishnamurti teach you how to see clearly. He says, see how the mind has played a trick upon itself. You are struggling after what your thought tell you, the words, pursuing your own thought's projection, your own shadow. You are violent and you are struggling to become non-violent, which is the ideal. But the ideal is the projection of what is. Only under a different name, when you are aware of this trick that you have played upon yourself, then the false as the false is seen. The struggle towards an illusion is the disintegration factor. All conflict, all becoming is disintegration. Now you understand, huh? Yeah. All of this struggle, conflict, to become, they are all disintegration. It does not bring about understanding, growth, realization. It brings about disintegration. You are being stressed out. Yeah. You develop a lot of suffering through all this craving and becoming. Then we move on to the third paragraph, which is the clear solution to what you have control. Krishnamurti say, when there is an awareness of this trick, see, the word is still awareness, mindfulness, that the mind has played upon itself, then there is only what is. Now, this is the most important understanding. What is the reality, true suchness. Like the Buddha said, see things as they are, nasana, that reality. Not through words, not through concept, not through your thoughts labeling, not through your brain's conditioning. All this will allow you to develop the right understanding, where you see things as they are, not according to what your thought tell you, not according to your accumulated conditioning of all your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your insecurity, your sorrow and your lamentation. So all this will not bring about understanding. That's why you have to have the direct seeing, which is to see things as they are, the truth, the reality. That's why Krishnamurti say, what is? And this is very important. When the mind is stripped of all becoming, when you don't try to become anything, of all the ideals that the brain or the thought project, of all comparison and condemnation, when its own structure has collapsed, then the what is, which is the reality, has undergone tremendous, complete transformation. See? Then you don't try to be what they call actively deluded by the thought, who always project and tell you, you have to become this if you want to be happy. Yeah. That's why the constant struggle to become perfect, to become ideal, to become better, is a craving, is a struggle that brings about so much suffering. But when you understand the teaching, the nature's law, you don't have to strive, you don't have to struggle. You only need the understanding, the nature's law that governs life and existence. Why can't you just have that understanding, accept the reality of what you are now? Then tell yourself, what are your options? How can you move? How can all these things change for the better without having to develop the craving to become that? So that there is no craving, no struggle towards that. Because the moment I understand, I will know what to do. Like the Buddha said, if I avoid all evil, do good, and purify my mind, I will become enlightened. I don't have to struggle so hard to meditate and develop the craving to become enlightened. All this you don't have to be. Even life itself is the same. If you want to be wealthy, you don't have to crave to be wealthy. You can just develop the understanding of the nature's law that govern all this, society's law that allow you to actually develop the ability to have all this possession and wealth, because these are the nature's law that governs life and existence. And similarly, society has its own law. That's why you live in a laissez-faire society, which is the modern world's present society. Yeah. It's easier. There's a lot of opportunity. Yeah. But if you live in the old society of communism and all those things, then it's more difficult, understand? Because ideology at that time is different. So when you understand all this, you don't have to create to become anything. You just live. You just work your way up to understanding. So this part is very important. When the mind is stripped of all becoming, when you don't try to become anything, of all the ideals that the thought has projected, then of all the comparison and condemnation, when its own structure has collapsed, then the what is, which is the reality, has undergone complete transformation. Means you can come to terms with the reality of the moment, like I always say. That's why whatever happened in life, do not react, do not stir your mind, and do not panic. Remember? Look at the reality. Accept the reality of the moment. Why? People are just the way they are. The world is the world. Nature's law like that, condition like that, things will be like that. I got two choices. React to it and become miserable and complain. Or accept, then with a clear mind ask myself, what went wrong? How can I resolve this amicably and move on? Now this is more tangible. This is more useful. Then how can I act? That's why Noble Eightfold Path come in. When Noble Eightfold Path coming, there is no craving, there is no wrong view, there is no desire to become anything. You just want to resolve things amicably so that nobody gets hurt. There is no selfishness involved. There is no desire to hurt people or to change people or to do anything to society and people. So all this is very important. Then I read on. As long as there is the naming of what is, that's why when you name, you say, I am poor, you are already creating your own hell. Then you have low self-esteem and all this thing. You are just the way you are, understand? Don't go and label it as, I am stupid, I am very child. How come I cannot have any understanding after learning or meditating for so long? I got no progress. All this is your thought projecting and creating the labeling. And when you do that, what happened to you? You become unhappy, miserable, with low self-esteem. That's why you don't have confidence, you don't have faith. Your sadda is gone. Understand? Why do you want to label? That reality is the reality. You are just the way you are. Actually, your inner nature is beautiful. That's why each and every living being, you have your own Buddha nature. Your true nature, the eternal life, the timeless, is always within your nature. Why can't you realize that? That you are the most beautiful being ever to be born. So this is something that you need to understand. That's why Krishnamurti says, as long as there is the naming of what is, then there is relationship between the mind and what is. Means the reality and the mind, which is a fire aggregate of form and mind, you go and separate it, understand not, into an observer and an observed. Then the observer say, and label what it observes, understand? But actually, like the Buddha mentioned, in the seeing, there's only the seeing consciousness. There is no one to see. That's why there is no observer and the observed. The whole process is one. The observer and the observed is one. Who is observing? Yeah? I ask you a very simple question. You say not. Huh? Who is noting? Huh? Who is noting in your meditation? Ah, your thought is nothing. Then who is observing? The five aggregate of form and mind is observing. Because through Sakkaya Ditti, you think there is a person, an atta, anasana, a mind observing, watching, seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile feel and think. The Buddha says anatta. Everything is dependent, originating. There is nobody inside there. That's why he said in the seeing, it's only the seeing consciousness. There is no one to see. There is the direct seeing, understand? Seeing things as they are, without words, without label. But the moment you label, the word came out, perception came out, the form and mind came out, the entity came out. Whatever that is being observed, that is the content of consciousness, understand? Where your content of consciousness starts to perceive what is being observed. Let's take, for example, the seeing consciousness, or the hearing consciousness, or the smell, taste, tactile, or thought consciousness. All these movements are aggregate of mind, your perception, your activity of mind, your mental states. And this one is no different from your thought, which is the five aggregate of form and mind. That's why it is not separate. That's why in the seeing, it's only that consciousness itself, the seeing consciousness. And there's no one to see. So if you don't understand, you will go and separate it. That's why Krishnamurti says, as long as there is a naming of what is, there is relationship between the mind and what is. But when this naming process, which is memory, thought, because thought is respond to memory, then the very structure of the mind is not. Then what is not. Means all the things you label through the words is not what you think. In this transformation alone is there integration. Yeah. When you don't label, when you don't cling, when you don't hold, when you don't try to become anything, that mind will be very quiet, very peaceful, very silent. Then, from there, there is meditation, the timeless, the eternal life, it will manifest on its own. You remember the earlier quote? Quiet mind and simple mind. Quiet means what? Silent, no thought, no becoming. Don't try to become anything. That's why I say when you meditate, don't try to know. Don't try to know. There is no meditator, no effort. The meditator is the thought. The effort is the craving from the thought. That's why the mind cannot be quiet, cannot be peaceful, cannot be silent, because thought is active. So the real meditation is just to learn how to relax and develop the silence. The awareness before the knowing, before the chattering. That's why Krishnamurti defined awareness as the silent, choiceless observation of what is, the reality. That's why when you see things as they are without thought, that is the direct seeing. And there is a clear mind, a silent mind, without thought, without chattering, without mental labeling, without order. Movement or activity. And that mind can realize the truth, can realize the timeless and the eternal life. So all this, you will develop understanding as you contemplate deep into what this J. Krishnamurti quote and the Buddha's teaching is all about. then maybe if you will go to that corner, quiet mind and simple mind, I just read to. If you have your own notes, you can turn to that page. Quiet mind, simple mind. When we are aware of ourselves, it's not the whole movement of living a way of uncovering the me, the ego, the self. The self is a very complex process that can be uncovered only in relationship, in our daily activities, in the way we talk, the way we judge, calculate, and the way we condemn others and ourselves. All that reveals the conditioned state of our own thinking. That's why your mental conditioning through your views, opinion, and all those thought-related, accumulated experiences. And is this not important to be aware of this whole process of conditioning or becoming? It is only through awareness of what is true from moment to moment that there is discovery of the timeless, the eternal. That's why this timeless and the eternal can only manifest when you have this awareness, which is true, means the reality. Of what is true, means of the reality within the moment, from moment to moment, that there is a discovery of the timeless. Then without self-knowledge, means this wisdom of who you are, what you are, the eternal cannot be. When we do not know ourselves, the eternal becomes a mere word, a symbol, a speculation, a dogma, a belief, and an illusion born of thoughts projection to which the mind can escape to. But if one begins to understand the me, means the self-delusion, sakkaya-ditti, in all its various activity from day to day, then in that very understanding, without any effort, see the word without any effort, no need effort, the nameless, the timeless, it will just manifest, it will come into being. But the timeless is not a reward for self-knowledge. That's why a lot of people deluded. They have this wrong view. They say, if I meditate, one day I will become enlightened, awakened. Then I will realize Nibbana. I will realize the timeless, the eternal. It's not like that. Understand? The moment you have craving and desire to have that, the moment your thought is active, it cannot manifest. That's why it said, that which is eternal cannot be sorted after. The mind cannot acquire it because it's beyond thought, beyond mind. You cannot use the mind to meditate to realize it. The instrument itself limits you. Then Krishnamurti said, it comes into being when the mind is quiet. See? First criteria is silent, quiet. And the mind can be quiet only when it is simple. Here simple is very deep in meaning. Simple means what Krishnamurti said. When it's no longer storing up. What is this? Storing up. Accumulating in memory. Anasana. When you are not accumulating all these experiences as memory. Means all this you are no longer storing up. Then reacting to what you experience. Means condemning, judging, weighing the pro and con, right and wrong. It is only the simple mind that can understand the real. Not the mind that is full of words, knowledge and information. The mind that analyzes and calculates is not a simple mind. So all this point towards the foolishness of living beings. When they don't understand, they do all this. That's why in the meditation, if you may recall in the early day what you all do, before you all understand all this, what you all do? Your mind is actively meditating and creating thought, isn't it? noting this, noting that, then wants to become enlightened. Then wants to analyze, am I doing it correct or not? Is that what the Buddha mentioned? Is that what my teacher or Brother Teo mentioned? Then, is that anicchang? Is that dukkang? Is that jhana that people say? Or that jnana knowledge? Is this the fourth jnana, fifth jnana, sixth jnana? Then, I am at which jnana? There is a I am, and then he want to know at which jnana. So, the thought is active. So when you do all this, your mind cannot be quiet, cannot be silent, cannot be still. There is craving, there is desire, there is becoming every moment within the meditative process that you are going through. The thought is so actively running around doing all these things. But you cannot see. That's why without all this explanation and understanding, you are wasting your time. That's why I used to tell most of you, you can go for a retreat in and out and meditate for umpteen years. After you come out, you are back to square one. When you are in the retreat, maybe you are more peaceful, more quiet, more calm. Because in that retreat condition, the setting is very conducive and nobody disturb you. There is no condition for your anusaya or latent tendency to arise. And your mind is a conditioned state because you condition it to be like that, to be peaceful because of the environment, because of the setting. Then sometimes when you cannot control your mind, you go into concentration, you focus, you develop one-pointedness, you develop absorption, you go into jhana and all those things. Then when you are in that state, you are like no thought, very peaceful. Then you think that's it. But that is a conditioned state. That is not the true mind. That is not a free mind. That is not a mind that can live life. That is not a mind that has been liberated from delusion, from sakkayadity, the evil roots. You have not rooted out yet. So all this, when you start to develop the understanding, then you will know how to meditate. That's why I say the real meditation is just silent. Silent mind. Train the mind to be peaceful, to be aware, to be relaxed, to be silent, to be heedful without thought. Then don't try to know. The understanding will come by itself. That silent mind will realize, will insight in the phenomena. And that is a real meditation. So that there is no more craving within there. There is no more thought to meditate. So all this, you will start to develop clear. Then you can relate back to what I shared earlier on in the Blue Book. The two basics, essential Dhamma, the five spiritual faculty and the five hindrance. Then it will become very clear. When I have the spiritual faculty without the hindrance, the mind is quiet, peaceful. Silent. True or not? When you have faith, what happened? Sada. Your mind is very calm and very composed there. No more doubt in there. Then when there is virya, you are no longer sleepy there. That tenacity to meditate is a spiritual zeal that will drive you because you see the importance of this understanding. That's why you will have that what they call diligence. Within, not a craving, not a desire, not an effort, understand? It just understand, this is important, I have to train my mind. I have to realize, the mind must realize this and exist. It has to realize the timeless, the eternal. And there is no craving towards it. It just develop understanding that this can only come about in this way. That's why your meditation take a different form. You will meditate differently. Your focus is only now on the spiritual faculty. That's why you look back, the puja, everything that the Buddha started, and all the essential Dhamma, they are all related to the spiritual faculty. And when the spiritual faculty is there, your mind is very different. The hindrance will be at bay. It cannot arise. Then you can root it out. When your spiritual faculty has become so stable, it has become balas, then it will be always with you. Then the hindrance no more rooted out. When you have sada, virya, sati will come to be. And when you have sati, you are ever mindful, without thought. That's why sati will lead to samadhi, the collectedness of mind, the unwavering mind. Then with sati and samadhi, in the midst of daily life, you can see things as they are, where the mind does not waver anymore. At the moment of sense experience within life, in the midst of life, your mind has sati and samadhi. That's why you can see things as they are, without delusion, without the mind coming in to interfere with all the views and opinion and condition you to react and seeing it differently. So the condition respond through delusion and wrong view no more. Then when you see things as they are, you develop wisdom, you develop insight. Then you straighten your view and you are no longer deluded. Then it will lead to the condition for enlightenment, for nibbana to be realized, for the mind to liberate, for it to awaken in the here and the now. And all this will fall into place. So this is what meditation is all about when you understand. But when you don't understand, you can be trapped and caught. And you can be like wasting your time for many, many years, sometimes decades. That's why many people came and talked to me about you before I understand what you say. I thought what I was doing was the correct meditation, because they call it vipassana or insight meditation. Then after they have developed the understanding, they tell me, Raju, I wasted 20, 30 years, some they say 30 over years to 40 years, doing all those thought-based meditation without understanding. That's why they are trapped, and they realize there is hardly any progress. They are more calm and more peaceful when they are in the retreat. That's about all. And when they come out of this retreat, maybe they can maintain for 1 week, 2 weeks, or maximum 3 weeks. They are back to square one again. In the midst of life, they are heedless again. They are hardly mindful and aware. If you cannot have the daily mindfulness, it's as good as saying bye-bye to meditation, really. You cannot awaken. That's why you have to be ever mindful to cultivate this spiritual understanding or the meditation as taught by the Buddha, which is the Noble Eightfold Path. Okay, now we will have to go to the last quote. Turn to the back page. Becoming is strife. Strife here, the meaning is according to the dictionary. It's like a difference in opinion based on fundamental issue. Means you are in conflict. Then the other meaning is it bring about pain. So now I will read on. Then hopefully with this you will understand. Life as we know, our daily life is a process of becoming. So this one, Krishnamurti just described a short, a few examples in a very summarized way. Just now I give you one since birth, one is a longer one. Understand the whole process of becoming since you are born until you are about to die. Then I didn't finish. I say you become grandparent. But as you become grandparent, grand-grandparent, you also becomes old, becomes sick, and then one day die. That's why the reality of life and existence, birth will lead to always sickness and death. That's why birth is suffering, understand not? Because it will bring about always sickness and death, separation from loved one and all those things. Then when you are with people whom you don't like, when you cannot get what you want, when things don't go your way. So all this will lead to suffering, misery. So life as we know, our daily life is a process of becoming. I'm poor and I act with an end in view, which is to become rich. Huh? To you it's very normal. You know? Most people have that idea that I really must work hard, strive to become financially independent, to establish your own financial independence. Means you don't have to work for money anymore. Money work for you. Those who have established themselves, financial independent means they don't have to work for money. Their money will work for them to replace their income. Means they can retire officially. That's why all the financial planner will tell you your financial planning to have early retirement. Is it? Oh, you must save how much? Or if you cannot have so much in saving, then you don't hit your target. You cannot retire. You have to work until very old. Then sometimes they add in some what they call fresh idea to you. Never mind, since your salary is not that much, I think you have to invest and take risks so that risk come with higher return, or then there is a possibility that you can make it at the age you want. But he never tell you the risk come both ways. Understand? When you take risk, higher return, also higher risk. Or losing everything. So that part you have to bear in mind to become gullible. That's why you want to be successful in life. You must understand the nature's law that governs life existence. You must be good at it. Like meditation, you have to train hard and develop the skill, the understanding. Then you will do well. So anything in life is the same. You want to achieve or realize something, you have to work towards it sincerely, not through craving, not through desire. Develop the clear understanding of the nature's law that governs life existence, and then tell yourself, if I work towards it, if I don't violate nature's law, I will make a difference to my life. This form and mind will transform. So I read on, then hopefully you will understand. I'm ugly and I want to become beautiful. Therefore, my life is a process of becoming something. The will to be is the will to become. Now you understand. To be is to become that thing. Because you want to be rich, then you become that wealthy guy. So the will to be is the will to become a different level of consciousness. Clear not? As you go through life. When you are very young, when you come from a not so well off to do family or poor family, you know what is your thought. If I can grow up, become a teacher, if I can have a good salary, have 3 meals, a proper shelter over my head, I will be happy. Now that is the first becoming. Then after you become teacher, then you realize, ayo, nowadays teacher not so like last time. So during my time, teacher is like a very good occupation that people actually give a lot of honor to and look up upon, especially in my small town. Once you say you are a teacher, they really treat you differently. But nowadays, my wife told me in the school, especially primary school, you know how they tell the student who are naughty and don't want to study. He said, you behave like that. Wait till you become teacher, then you will understand. Yeah, they equate that profession. Your teacher are very low pay during the early day. A lot of work on, understand? Then nowadays, people don't really look up to that profession like what they used to do. So that is what has changed. So the level of consciousness is different. So when you hit that, then you realize, you're actually a teacher. You still cannot make ends meet. So what do? They give tuition. They want really lucrative. Some no need to pay tax also. That's why they can have more. Then it's not easy, you know. After a half day, you come back, you still got to give tuition. Or then your weekend sometimes also taken up. Yeah. But one thing they like about the teaching profession is, last time we always had this joke in the university. The teacher like don't have to work on. You know how they calculate or not? Is it 1 year, you got how many holidays? Then first term, again how many holidays? Second term, how many holidays? Then the third term, how many holidays? Then every day work half day. Then they add it out. Teacher like no need to work because they overlap all the holiday and the school, the term, the first term, second term, and third term holiday. But actually the teacher work a lot, especially language teacher. Mark essay is not easy. But some of this mathematics teacher, my maths teacher, he said that it's the easiest profession in the world. Is it? You know why or not? He doesn't need to teach one. He only bring his model answer. All the past year series, all the answer he work out already. So when we were in Form 5 and Form 6, he come in. He just say, anything to know, the answers are all here. Then say the past year series, what year to what year, 20 years, last 20 years, all the answers is there. Then he say, anything you don't understand, only ask him. So you go and ask him, he got another standard one that can teach you on that topic. And he summarize everything. That's why we all see him very free. He don't mark your paper one. He say, you go and check. The model answer is there. Even the whole textbook, all the answer he has already done it up. So year in and year out, he come to school, he very relaxed. But one day, we got a shock. Near to the term, almost exam time, he suddenly come in, very moody. Then he, in front of the class, he said, he wrote this title, everybody got a shock. What is the title here? How to kill a person, no? Something like that. We look at him. He was very, very unhappy. Actually, he has big problem with the wife. He is a maths teacher. He, in the school, everybody respect him. He go home, I think the wife not only don't respect him, tell him. The wife keep on complaining to him. Then you know what he told us. He said, I don't know, I cannot understand woman. They complain, they have to do so much housework. They think I got no work. You all laugh. Then after that, he say, okay, you got a lot of work. He say, how can I help you? Last time, no maid, no. He said, he go and look around like a maths teacher. He try to solve his problem. Then he realized, got washing machine, no. But last time, a very crude one. Understand how to change water and do a lot of things. Then no dryer, nothing. Then you know what happened. That day he complained. But he had a big argument with the wife. He said, I bought her a washing machine. Then she some more complained. He said, I don't know how to use. Then when he started to learn how to use, he complained. So much trouble. Change water, do this. We are not familiar. Understand? He said, I wash straight away, clean already, dry out already. All these machines spend so much money and have to go through all this hassle. I don't want to use it. Then he buy the fridge. He want to save money. The fridge too small. He said, I can't even store my food and other thing. Then the leftover also not enough space. He said, want to buy bigger one. If not, don't buy. He said, wow, he got more mad. He said, he don't know what to do. Then he said, he don't know, go and read one book, you know, Character Assassination. No, he come out with, oh. He said, that's how you can kill a person very easily. What happened was the wife go and complain to his parents, the in-laws. then, you know, the in-law, they love the grandchildren so much, they tell him. That's why he became so mad. But he's a very nice teacher. He's a very nice teacher. And he always complained to me because I'm the monitor, class monitor. You know what he said? He said, every year, end of the year, I got a lot of problems because all these form 6, upper 6, they are leaving school there. So you ask for school leaving certificate there. Then they got to write something for you, this boy, the character and all those things. He said, I run out of adjective. I don't know what to write. And he dared to write this, I think this guy will know, Ching Yap. But you don't tell him, So Jinan. Chua, Xiong An. You know what he wrote on his school certificate? Big mouth talk a lot. But the student really got big mouth and really talk a lot. But you cannot be so blunt because it's school leaving, so now people apply for job. He asked me to pass it to him. No, I warned him first. I say, you see, you don't get angry. You come back to me, I help you to sort it out. Wow, he got so angry. He said, I'm going to confront him. He said, I'm going to tell him. Then I took him to see him. You know what his answer was? I run out of adjective. I don't know what to write for you. Big mouth talk a lot, no adjective. that's why that was a great joke. Then I said, I think I have to change. He said, change. You know what he did? He passed the whole stack to me. You go and write. End of the day, I got to write. Then I had to ask, they all, what you want me to write? Because it's so unfair to write negative things, because these are school living certificates. You have to write the good things, but you cannot lie. Understand? So these are the life reality and problem. We better continue with this, otherwise we won't finish. Okay. The will to be is the will to become at different level of consciousness. So now what I'm trying to explain to you is at different time, as you go through life, you will have different ambition or different choice. You want to become something else. At the end of the day, most people say, I just want to go back to my student days. Because they realize during that time, no worry. Understand? Everything parents take care. Then that is your best part of your life. You play, you run around, you do everything. As you go through career, the stress and all those things. But not everybody has to go through that. I went through my career in a very, very happy way. That's why I reached the pinnacle of my career. And I love my career so much because I like the profession. And I enjoy that type of work. That's why you must have passion. You must like what you do, and you must understand the importance of that profession. Yeah. I got a lot of what they call self-satisfaction or job satisfaction. Then, one thing, the Dhamma helped a lot because it gave me so much clarity, so much understanding. That's why a lot of things get resolved easily. Then we go on. At different level of consciousness, in different states, in which there is challenge, respond, naming and recording. This is what human beings do. You agree, right? Because there's a lot of challenge you want to achieve, you want to realize. Then there's a lot of response to what you do. Then there's a lot of naming and recording. Now this becoming is strife. This becoming is pain, is it not? There's a lot of struggle, a lot of conflict, a lot of sorrow and lamentation, a lot of pain. It's a constant struggle. I am this, and I want to become that. So this is a very important understanding. Don't try to become anything, cannot. Cannot. Be the real you. You are what you are. You are most beautiful when you realize the Dhamma, understand? When you have the Dhamma, you are very wealthy, understand? You are very rich. You know why? You have contentment. Somebody asked the Buddha, what is the highest wealth? The Buddha said, contentment. If you are contented with what you have, you are very wealthy. A very wealthy person, if they are not contented with what they have, they still not wealthy because they still want. So contentment can make you very rich and very wealthy. Then when you understand, all this becoming and struggling is a thought projection, make you crazy, bring about so much suffering, misery, because you struggle towards it. You actually, at your expense of your health, understand? You work so hard for what? For money. Then what happens? Then you use money to spend on your health, to recover back your good health. By the time you realize, too late, you lost the window to live life, to experience life. That's why when you have a clear picture of what life is, then you can plan your life. You don't have to crave towards becoming anything. Life can be beautiful, meaningful, and simple when you understand. But when you don't understand, life can be pretty tough, full of suffering, full of misery. So all this is part and parcel of life. All this is what becoming is all about. So when you start to develop clear understanding of what becoming is, you will understand life. So the solution is what? Not to crave for anything, understand? To accept what is, understand? The reality. When you can come to terms with the moment, with the reality, you have wisdom. Because you no longer stir, react, and want things your way. According to Lord Buddha, what did he say? When causes and conditions are like that, things will be like that. Thing is just the way it is. Cannot be otherwise. If you want things your way, which is not nature's way, what happened? Suffering will arise because you cannot get what you want because you are not happy with what is. You want to become something else. That is where conflict is. The struggle is. The craving to become something else. At this moment, things are really like that. It has to be like that. That's why you must have that wisdom to accept the reality of the moment. Then you are at peace. That's why I say, whatever arise or happen, do not panic, do not react, do not stir your mind. Can you do that? Then develop that clarity of mind to see things clearly. Not through your conditioning, not to project your thought, not to go and worry about what happened. What happened is the reality. You cannot fight that reality. You cannot change that reality. It has to be like that. The example that I gave on Tuesday class is very good. Like car accident. Happened already. That is the fact. That is the reality. So focus on that and move. Resolve it amicably. If you try to argue, quarrel, and blame, then all these are not reality. Your thoughts, projection, it makes you more angry, more emotional. Then you meet the wrong guy, the violent one, he will whack you. and you get into more problem. Then you want to think that you are right, you want to complain all the way, then he say, okay, report police. Then you go to police station, you talk in such a way that you are very crude and heedless or full of emotion. Then you know what happened, the sergeant also don't like you. That time you did. He not only compound fine you and threaten you with a lot of things. So all this is understanding. When you understand, you focus on the reality, means accident happened already. I don't want to blame anybody because it's not important anymore. Let the sergeant or the officer who is in charge decide who is right, who is wrong. If you want to claim, I have an insurance. But make sure you got insurance. Then you can resolve it amicably. Then you say, if you want to claim, I have the insurance, don't worry. Then you do what you have to do, understand or not? Need to identify a good tow truck driver or a reliable workshop, then you go and do that. Then you need to resolve things amicably. If it's not much, if your car can still move, then resolve it amicably there and then. Just say, I'm sorry if I have caused you any inconvenience. You call it inconvenience or what. Then you check with him anything seriously wrong with your car or not. Then if it's really something that need to claim to resolve, then we go ahead and claim and make the police report. But if it's minor, you can get it repaired on your own. You can have the means, then try to resolve it amicably. If it's a motorbike, I want try to pay them off. Understand? Then make sure that they are not hurt. If need to send them to hospital, send them to hospital. And then when you resolve all this amicably, then you realize you got nothing hangover. Understand? You don't leave behind phobia and all those things. Otherwise, you try to care, you know what happened. That guy will harass you, call you up. I went and checked with the doctor already. He said, very likely this is happening to me. Then after that, he said, I sent to mechanic. It's not so cheap. Then you have the hassle and the headache and all this thing. So you might as well resolve it amicably with that person. If your repair cost exceeds certain amount, I suggest you claim my insurance because I lose my NCB, I can use that money to pay for it. But if you ask me to pay anything above this, it's not worth it because my NCB is also not that much. And then he won't argue with you, understand? Then he will not try to do all those things and harass you. Then you want to make him happy, you say, I think it's my fault. We go and report police accordingly, we let the sergeant decide. Then no more argument. But most of the time, it get resolved. And I have resolved a lot of this. Sometimes I just say, never mind. Because I know it's his fault. Like that day I told you my daughter's car accident. I say, next time drive carefully. And I send mine for repair. It's not cheap, but I can afford. It cost me $1,200 because my that Toyota Altis, it hit the two door together with the back panel. So actually four area. And the workshop is reliable and cheap, so that's why I just say, okay, go ahead and do it up properly. Because to me, I can afford it. So I resolve it amicably. Then that person who drove the four-wheel driver, he was very new. I think he just got his license or what. He must be driving his father's car or what. I also don't know. Young guy, 20 years old. So he was in a state of shock. I said, never mind. I said, next time you drive carefully. Because it was a T-junction. He was turning up. He's supposed to wait for us to pass because we are on the straight road. Then he got a white line in front. I think he couldn't control his accelerator because it's going up a slope. So he stepped on the accelerator. Then when he was about to hit my daughter's car, only he panicked. Then he slammed on the brake, but too late. Then my daughter also panicked. The first time I came back from Singapore, haven't driven for so long. than they meant to be. I can sense it. Then I said, never mind, let her try. Otherwise, she won't learn. Well, very good experience. After that, she's still there to try. Then she said, never mind, I still try. And I said, okay, you try. After all, after this accident, I already need to send the workshop. You drive. So this is to give her confidence and faith, because long time haven't drive, then meant to be that day. Then they build up that confidence. If I had started to scold my daughter and scold that person, what would happen? I tell you, I get into more trouble. Then I make my daughter panic. Then he will next time vow not to touch my car anymore. But I never. Since young also, I never. That's why my daughter, the day on my birthday, wrote me a very good message. I read to some of you. Then she also told me what. Because there was one day we were sharing this experience with his colleague, another colleague. She said, Daddy, I remember last time, the first time I drove the new Kanchur, where I bought her a new Kanchur, she didn't go overseas. First time accident, you know what she said? This one is from her own word. She said, I don't know what to do. Panic. She said, whether to call Daddy or to handle it herself or what. Well, that time, I think no handphone yet. Then, there was so much of this thought going on in her head. That's why she understand all this fear, worry, anxiety. Then she said, luckily, somehow she managed to contact me. That guy was a taxi driver. So that taxi driver was very kind, I think. I saw her like a student. That time she was first year student. So she tell her, I said, no, don't worry. He said, my fault. The taxi driver said, her fault. Then later on, I came to know. Then I went. Then I saw. Then I say, what happened? Oh, he said, Daddy, okay, the taxi driver said his fault. We only need to go police station. He said he wants to take me there. But I say, I wait for you. Then I took my daughter there, made all the report. Then you know what she said? After that incident, she learned the process. Then she know what to do. Well, I explained to her. Then after that, later on accident, no more problem. She can handle. Even boyfriend not around, also she handle herself. So this is independent. Understanding and just move. Then no more fear. All this fear, worry, anxiety will not help you. You look at the fact, the reality, accident happened already, we got insurance. So need to claim insurance, claim. Do what you have to do. Don't argue with people, understand not? Resolve it amicably through understanding, through applying Noble Eightfold Path. That's why when you have this understanding or accepting the reality of what is, your thought cannot move, cannot project. You cannot have craving and desire to become anything else. You just become what you are at that moment, with goodness, with understanding. Then no more negativity. That's why without this understanding, your thought will project. You will have a lot of fear, worry, anxiety. And this is what I learned from my daughter when she told me that. She said, first time really, daddy, don't know what to do. The brain was blank, I said. And then when the thought come back, the fear, the worry, I don't know what to do. So you can imagine, first time when you drive your car, first accident, what happened to you, your experience? Maybe you go back and recall, almost 10:30 so fast. Another 1-2 minutes. Okay, we end. You got any question? This code is very important, very useful. For you to understand what becoming is, what craving is, and it matches exactly what the Buddha's teaching is all about. The Buddha said, craving is the cause of all suffering. And craving got three types. Sensual craving. That's why your like and dislike. Sensual desire, you will, is the cause of suffering. Your pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. The duality that you go through. Then bhava tanha, craving to be, to become something. That's why craving is becoming. Becoming is your positive craving. Then Vibhava Tanha is craving not to be. This is your negative craving. You want to push it away. You don't want to experience that type of becoming. That's why you have negative craving. That's why your envy, jealousy, and all those things come about. Your hatred, that evil root of anger and hatred. Then the positive craving is your desire, your lust, your covetousness, your possessiveness, your selfishness, your what they all call deceitfulness, all this. These are part and parcel of the three evil roots. So craving has this what they call delusion within, otherwise there is no craving. Why must you crave? The world is the world. The reality is just the way things are. So when you understand the nature's law that governs life and existence, then you know you cannot violate them. You have to come to terms with the reality, then accord and flow. Then do what you have to do in accordance with this nature's law, especially the law of karma. Then you will know what to do. That's why you want to resolve your worldly problem. You have to understand this Dhamma. The three types of right view. Kama Niyama, Chitta Niyama, and Dhamma Niyama. Then you will know how to resolve them. That's why you need to resolve it amicably. Do it. Then for certain aspect of karma, you need to ask for forgiveness and develop the repentance. You have to do that. Then you need to evoke the power of merits for causes and conditions for you to recover or your loved one to recover. You can also do that. Because these are the reality. These are the nature's law that is capable of bringing about the outcome, the difference. And you don't have to have any craving. You don't have to even pray and crave for them to recover. No. You just have to do what you have to do. Understand? That's why you invoke the power of merit through nature's law to arise the causes and conditions for them to recover to good mind state or to become successful in life. But you have to work towards it. Understand? Like they say, even condition is there, if you allow it to slip by, that is your choice. Because when it arrives, that window is open, you allow it to slip by, gone, no more. A lot of you, I think you've gone through life, you know that. There are so many of these opportunities to actually make some money or wealth. But you just allow it to slip by, because you are not heedful, not mindful, and you cannot predict them, and you cannot see them, and you cannot understand them. After that thing gone only, you tell yourself, that time I really, you're stupid, like, cannot understand. Then later on, when you think you understand, no more, the opportunity don't appear anymore, the window closed. Like in the early days, when you are given the window to study hard and excel in the academic field, that time you're very naughty, you play a lot, then you neglect. But some blessing in disguise. Because they didn't study, they got nothing to lose. They go all out, they make it. Let them go tong. No education on. Tohan Mia Pasai also can. Nature's disaster. He tell the newspaper, he said, Tohan Mia Pasai. Yeah, that road towards Kendi. So a lot of this thing, it depends on your karmic nature. Then it depends on how you actually understand life. So all this is very useful. And these are all Dhamma understanding. When you have the understanding, you can understand life, then you can cope with life, then you can develop the condition to live life beautifully, meaningfully. And it can make a big difference to your life. That's how Dhamma can be very useful. It has its great beauty and advantages. it can help transform living beings, bring them out of suffering, bring about the good condition for good life to unfold. Then you can also be a blessing to all, not only to yourself, to your loved one, to all those that have relationship with you, to all of humanity and the world. Okay, we better end. Yeah, you all can rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. We will do the sharing of merits. Sharing of merits with the devas. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditva chirang rakkhantu loka sasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share this merits, and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata cha amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhya. May all beings share this merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transform merits to departed one. Idang menya tinang ho tu sukhita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang ho tu sukhita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang ho tu sukhita hontu nyatayo. Let this merits accrue to our departed ones and all those who can receive them, and may they all too be well and happy always. Okay, invoking the blessing for this nation. Devo vasat kalena sasa sampati heto cha to bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers be righteous. Okay, now you make your aspiration. Imina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya. By the grace of this merits that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish but only the wise and the enlightened one, until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha. Then we have.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Ah.